if a person is drowning in the water, it means they can't get out on their own. There must be a lifesaver to go get them.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians are called to be a help to those who've strayed from the truth.
And we are not being the people of God if all we do is come to church. You are not the people of God unless we're touching lives, changing lives, helping lives, investing in lives.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Some churches are so focused on people coming through the front door, they barely notice the wounded believers moving out the back. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about how to help those who find themselves being pulled from the faith.
In case you didn't know it, Christians are called to be lifesavers. We're called to be in the business of rescuing people who have strayed from the truth. And when Christians fail in that responsibility, we become co-conspirators in folk who are drowning. Because either we were not on our perch or we didn't care enough to climb it. James concludes his book, his treatise, by challenging Christians to look out for other Christians who are drowning, who have strayed, who have wandered. James wants to make sure that they know church isn't just coming for singing, preaching, and praying, as strategic and important as all of that is. But he tells these Christians, and therefore he tells us, that we are lifesavers. We are to be in the life-saving role as part of our responsibility in the family of God. He's talking to Christians. He says, my brethren, in verse 19. He's talking to Christians, and he's talking about Christians. He says, my brethren, if one among you. So he's talking to Christians, about Christians, who have wandered from the truth. This is not concerning eternal salvation. He's not talking about winning sinners to Christ, although we should be doing that too. He's talking about winning saints who are functioning like sinners to escort them back home. And he says, it is the responsibility of my brethren, of fellow saints, to be in the life-saving role of taking those who have wandered away from the truth and bring them back. You are supposed to be a lifeguard, guarding the life of your fellow family of God when one strays from the truth. Why should we care about this? Why should this matter? Well, my business, your business, you know, why should we be caring enough to notice when a brother or sister strays and then to go get them and turn them back? Why should that matter? Verse 20. Because he says in verse 20, let him know. So because he's talking about my brethren now. Let the person who is going after the other person who is straying from the truth know. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, from walking away from the truth, will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That is a beast. He says, let them know. This is the my brethren. This is the folk who are going after the folk. Let them know that when you go after somebody that you see clearly has abandoned the truth, this is persistently walking away from God based on his word. When you see that, let him know that when you go after that person, you save a soul from death. Now, that's one thing you do. But then he says you do a second thing. You cover a multitude of sin. So let's dig down in that. When you and I go after brothers and sisters who have strayed from the truth, this is not where they've done one thing wrong. This is where they've adopted a direction. They're straying. They're in a direction that's going to be spiritually cataclysmic. He says, you save a soul from death. So now let's talk about death. The word death in the Bible means separation. So if you want a synonym for the word death, in the Bible, the word death means separation. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God said, on the day you eat thereof, on that day you will surely die. But they didn't die that day. They lived for dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of years after that. I mean, we're talking about super lifespan. But Jesus said, God said, on the day you eat, you're going to die. Because on the day they ate, they were kicked out of the garden. They were separated from God. When they got separated from God, what happened? Thorns and thistles, family conflict, Cain kills Abel, sibling rivalry, the earth is in an uproar. In other words, spiritual separation brings life consequences. Spiritual separation brings life consequences, and the Bible calls that death. The Bible calls that death because it's a separation. Now, we're familiar with physical death, but that's a separation too. That's when the immaterial part, the soul, is separated from the material part, the body. So it's a separation. The body can't do anything because the soul has been separated from it. So the Bible means separation. Eternal separation is what the Bible calls hell, which is where a person is separated from God eternally. So it's separation. He says, let him know that the one who goes after the straying one, and the reason you have to go after them is they're not returning on their own. Okay? They're not returning on their own. So you got to go get them. If a person is drowning in the water, it means they can't get out on their own. There must be a lifesaver to go get them. Let him know that the one who goes to get them, the straying brother, saves a soul from death. In other words, restores them back to the truth, back to the Lord. In my right leg, there's a steel plate. Got a steel plate in my right leg. Because when I was playing football, I was the weak side linebacker. They threw a pass. I intercepted the pass and was making my way back the other way. And it had rained the day before, and so the ground was sort of muddy and sticky. And a guy hit me with a cross body block. When he hit me with a cross body block, my cleat didn't come up. Pow! Snapped my tibia and fibula. Both bones in the leg, pow, was snapped in two. They brought the ambulance on the football field. They put me on the gurney. They took me to the hospital. They said, we must do surgery immediately. They took the scalpel, opened up my leg, and put a steel plate in it. In other words, they restored my ability to walk. The break was so severe that if they didn't fix it, my leg would have been bent for life. But there were enough doctors and nurses available. When my bones got shattered, to do surgery on me, because they weren't just looking at the moment, they were looking at the life, because it would have affected my whole life. To turn back means to restore, to bring back to health, hope, and healing. He says, when one does that, They are restoring. That means to reset a bone. He said, you save a soul from death. You and I are to interpose ourselves in the lives of other believers who are straying from the clearly defined divine standard. Not preference, not opinions, divine standard. Hebrews chapter 10, very interesting. A few pages back. He says in verse 23 of Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So he says, part of the reason for assembling is stimulating one another. So there is a horizontal, not just a vertical, there's a horizontal reason why you need to be connected to the assembly. But why? Notice verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully, this is the person straying, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think you will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and have regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's talking about Christians because he says those who've been sanctified.
Dr. Evans will have more on that when he returns in just a moment. Don't go away.
It takes 100 pennies to make a dollar and 100 days to change the world. In his new daily devotional journal, 100 Days of Cultivating Kindness, Dr. Tony Evans gives insights and scripture selections that make a compelling case for kindness. By using this daily journal, you'll feel inspired to be refreshingly kind. One day can seem as small as a penny, but 100 days adds up to a culture of kindness. Visit TonyEvans.org to request your copy today. Spread kindness. Change culture.
Well, today's message is the final installment in Tony's extensive 12-part look at the biblical wisdom found on the pages in the book of James. In this series, Living Real in a Fake Culture, he has been revealing how we can develop a deeper trust and reliance on God, the ability to experience his greater grace. Both volumes of this audio collection are available to you on either CDs or downloadable MP3s, along with a special bonus, a complimentary copy of Tony's daily devotional we heard about a moment ago. It's called 100 Days of Cultivating Kindness. In this book, you'll discover how to be a part of the solution for a culture that's forgotten how to express helpfulness, forgiveness, and compassion to one another. This powerful resource package is yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help support the ministry of The Alternative here on this station and others like it around the world. But this is the final day this special bundle will be available, so visit TonyEvans.org right away to make your donation and request. We have a quick link for you right on our homepage. You can also make your request with one of our friendly resource team members when you call 1-800-800-3222 anytime today. I'll repeat that information after the conclusion of today's lesson. Let's get back to Dr. Evans now.
There comes a point in the life of a straying believer when God decides too far, too long, that's enough. When he decides too long, too far, that's enough, he comes in directly and deals with it. But the reason he says in the previous verses to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but stimulate one another, is because if we get to them before God gets to them, we save them from extensive consequences by the discipline of God. So the reason we intervene is so that a worse situation doesn't have to be brought to bear, which means you got to care about somebody other than yourself for that to happen. And somebody's got to care about you enough for that not to happen. To interject, interpose. So let's answer the question, what's love got to do with it? Love is always other-oriented. God so loved the world that he gave. He was thinking about somebody else. We don't attend worship selfish. We attend worship service. It means we care about serving. We care about caring. That's why there are all these one another's in Scripture. Care for one another, love one another, connect with one another, serve one another. All these one another's, because it's not just sit, soak, and sour. It's how can God use me to be a blessing while I'm asking him to give me a blessing. And one of those responsibilities is the restoration of people where you see they drift. They stop coming to church. They stop serving. They stop or abandon with other lifestyle issues that they're unrepentant of. He says, if they could come back, if they wanted to come back, you'd be hearing from them. They're straying. Go get them. Go get them. That's what the church is supposed to be about. You go get them. And he says, if you act in love this way, it will cover a multitude of sins. You got this straying believer. If they have been straying for a period of time, they have accumulated sins. We're not talking about one thing. Maybe they started with Aretha. And then they graduated to crack or cocaine or, you know, they graduated. So one thing led to another thing that led to another thing that led to another thing that led to another thing. And you've got this accumulation now. And the more the accumulation, the harder it is to return. Because now you got to step over all this stuff that accumulated. You got this multiplicity of sin. He says, but if you go after them and you save them, you restore them, you've not only dealt with where they are, you're dealing with how they got there. Because there's this multiplicity, there's this continuum. You have saved a destiny. A destiny. It looked like a situation, but if that situation continued, it would become a destiny. But you've done something else. It says love covers a multitude of sins, but his focus is not on the person who strayed, although that's the issue. His focus is on the brethren who need to go after them. My brethren, if one strays, I want you to know that the one who goes after them saves a soul from death, but then he covers a multitude of sins. Genesis 9, the curse of Ham. Ham, one of the sons of Noah, comes into his father's tent. When he comes into his daddy's tent, he uncovers his father's nakedness. Noah was doing something that was sinful, that was illegitimate, that was inappropriate. Shem and Japheth take a cover and cover up their father. Ham exposed it. Shem and Japheth covered it. James says, let the person know, my brethren, that he who saves a sinner saves him from death and covers, stay with me here, a multitude of sins. So there's a whole bunch of sins being brought up into this story. Ham exposes it, called gossip. I'ma tell. But his brothers don't do what he did. They cover it. They don't deny it, but they do cover it. God sees what's happening in Genesis 9. And God gets ticked off at Ham. He tracks Ham down and curses Ham's son, Canaan. Now, let me do parentheses. He ain't cursed all Ham's kids. He cursed one of his four sons, okay? So anybody throw out anything about a Hamitic curse and it relates to a whole race of people is illegitimate. I just thought I'd throw that in there. He cursed one of the sons, and the son he cursed, Canaan, the father of the Canaanites, were wiped out. So it's no longer even in existence, okay? So he curses Ham's son, which is his child, because his father was, in a sense, cursed by him by the uncovering. So not only was Noah wrong, Ham is also wrong because of how he dealt with the sin. In other words, he didn't help his father. He made his father's indignity worse by uncovering it, and his brothers had to come in and address the situation without denying it. We don't deny sin, but we don't seek to make it worse. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because when it says it covers a multitude of sins in James, it doesn't just cover the multitude of sin of the sinner who strayed. It also covers the multitude of sin of the person coming after the sinner who strayed. In other words, you help yourself out with God when you go get somebody else who needs help from God. And when you bring them back, God makes a record that you are a Shem and Japheth. You are not trying to make a situation worse. You're trying to make it better. And then he can apply James 2:13 to those who show mercy, I will give mercy instead of giving judgment. So you just help yourself out in your stuff that's been accumulating. When you go get somebody else in their stuff, which is accumulating, you get them back as you obey Galatians 6. When you see a brother caught in a sin, it says, you go out and uncatch them, and you do it with the spirit of humility, lest the problem they had becomes the problem you have. So that is part of what the church is called to do. And we are not being the people of God if all we do is come to church. You are not the people of God unless we're touching lives, changing lives, helping lives, investing in lives, because we're helping ourselves in that process.
Dr. Tony Evans, bringing to a conclusion the final installment in his current message series, Living Real in a Fake Culture. This two-volume, 12-lesson collection offers practical, clear directions for making wise, God-honoring decisions when things get confusing. As I mentioned earlier, if you'll make a donation in support of Tony's ministry today, we'll send you this entire audio series as our gift, along with the bonus of Tony's brand-new daily devotional book, 100 Days of Cultivating Kindness. But this is the final day to take advantage of this special double offer. So visit TonyEvans.org right away to make the arrangements. Or call 1-800-800-3222 to get some in-person help from one of our resource team members. That's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. Crying out to God for revival can seem very spiritual. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will reveal something believers should seek even more desperately. It's the first message in a brand new series designed to help us find our way back to God. Don't miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.